אנחנו קוראים בכתבי בעל הסולם עמוד 770.
We are reading in the writings of בעל הסולם, Introduction to the Study of Ten Sfirot, item 5. You can send your questions to kab.tv and Sviva Tova. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Writings of בעל הסולם, page 770 in Hebrew, item 5. According to the above, you will understand the words of our sages in the Masechet Avot. Such is the path of Torah. Eat bread with salt, drink little water, sleep on the ground, lead a sorrowful life, and labor in the Torah. If so you do, happy are you, happy in this world, and happy in the next world. We must ask about their words. How is the wisdom of Torah different from the other teachings in the world, which do not require this self-tormenting and sorrowful life? But the labor itself is enough to acquire those teachings. Even though we labor extensively in the Torah, it is still not enough to acquire the wisdom of the Torah except through the mortification of bread with salt and a sorrowful life. The end of the words is even more surprising, as they said, if so you do, happy are you in this world and happy are you in the next world. This is because it is clear that it is possible to be happy in the next world. But in this world, while I torment myself in eating and drinking and sleeping, and I lead a sorrowful life, would it be said about such a life, happy are you in this world? Is this the meaning of a happy life in this world?
In other words, what do we need? One who comes to Bnei Baruch must establish this sort of life, kind of that, live that kind of life. Get one slice of bread with some salt, a liter or two of water, just some piece of a small area on the floor, and that's it. That's the way of Torah. This is what he's saying. That's the way of Torah. You will eat a slice of bread with salt, drink water, a cup of water, sleep on the floor, and live a sorrowful life, and labor in the Torah. If you do this, you're happy. Why are you happy? Why is there this condition in the Torah? He'll explain it immediately. But it's clear these conditions, were it not for the wisdom of Kabbalah, it would not pass on to any other method. But in the wisdom of Kabbalah, from there it went on to all kinds of monasteries and all kinds of methods and torments and whatnot. But initially, it existed in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Why? Because we have to correct the will to receive. And correcting it is possible only by pressing it, limiting it, and working on it strongly, suppressing it. So, basically, the demand is correct according to our nature. If it stops me from achieving the Torah, then the way of Torah is to press on the will to receive as much as possible. Clear? Yes or not? No questions. Only you have questions. What?
I understand that we can give up the chicken and the rice on Friday, it's fine, but why is he writing with sorrow?
You give it up instead of what?
Yeah, but why sorrow? What is he speaking of sorrow?
That's the thing, you don't just relinquish what you have.
Yeah, with sorrow.
You relinquish in such a way that you get to sorrow.
Today, that's it. Today I have everything, but I feel sorrow.
Today you have sorrow, you have everything?
Yeah, I have everything and I am sorrowful about my state.
So you will begin to picture yourself with what you have as not having this and this and this and that, and suddenly you'll feel that you will... When you have another, one more slice of bread, you'll feel, wow, what happiness, what taste. Try it.
What is the root of sorrow?
The root is our will to receive. What's not clear? My nature is the will to receive. To get to the Creator, I have to suppress it. I have to suppress it, don't I?
But, yeah, am I coming out of this sorrow, or am I going to be like that all my life?
No, you have to do it. When our sages wrote it, they probably understood that this is how you start and the Creator helps you and cancels your will to receive. Raises you to the will to bestow.
Can you reach a state without sorrow?
Of course, a happy life.
When?
When?
Well, what stage?
When you come to a state where that sorrow that you put on yourself will be to you as pleasure.
That sounds very good to me.
Great, but you understand that it is possible. That's it. Yes?
Item 6. However, according to what is explained above, that engagement in the Torah and observing the mitzvot correctly under its strict condition to bestow contentment to one's maker and not for one's own pleasure is impossible to achieve except through great labor and exertion in purifying the body.
Meaning that you will begin to relate to suppressing your will to receive and you will enjoy it because you will feel that your will to receive hates you and you are going to hate it to such an extent that you won't be able to uproot it. You can't just pull it out. But you can hate it. King Solomon called it my enemy, my hated or hater. So when you begin to relate to your enemy in this way, to your will to receive, then your relation to it will be that you enjoy its correction. It's kind of masochism. And then you come to... Then you come to life, specifically then.
And the first tactic is to accustom oneself not to receive anything for one's pleasure, even the permitted and necessary things for the existence of one's body, such as eating, drinking, sleeping, and other such necessities. In this manner, one will detach oneself completely from any pleasure that comes to him, even in the necessities, in the fulfillment of one's sustenance, until he leads a sorrowful life in its literal meaning. Then after one becomes accustomed to it and his body possesses no desire to receive any pleasure for itself, it is now possible for him to engage in the Torah and keep the mitzvot in that manner too, in order to bestow contentment upon his maker and not at all for his own pleasure.
How? According to the importance, there is no pleasure or no pleasure here. You know that you are, you have this cake in front of you and now you're going to enjoy it. I want it so much, I'll get it in a few seconds and I'll enjoy it so much and I'll eat it. And suddenly you hear a few words say from your wife and then the whole cake that she puts in front of you becomes tasteless, right? Something from life. Nice. So it's not about the cake. It's all a relation, how you relate to it. So in using the will to receive, we have to see our enemy. We have to see it as our enemy, that you cannot get any benefit from it. And I don't want to use it, but I can't. This is why he soon continues, and he gives us a different means to rise above the will to receive. Yes?
And when one acquires this, he is rewarded with tasting the happy life, filled with delight and pleasure without any blemish of sorrow.
Beyond the situation where I don't enjoy directly anymore the will to receive. Yes? Even though there are great pleasures in it, but I don't enjoy it. I relate to it as separating me from the Creator, so I hate it. But when I relate to it accordingly, then beyond it, I go into pleasures. A different pleasure. Pleasure from my connection with the Creator. 620 times. Yes?
Which appear in the practice of Torah and Mitzvot Lishma. It is as Rabbi Meir says, anyone who engages in the Torah Lishma is granted many things. Moreover, the whole world is worthwhile for him. The secrets of Torah are revealed to him, and he becomes as a flowing spring. It is about him that the verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good. One who tastes the flavor of the practice of Torah and Mitzvot Lishma is endowed with seeing the intention of creation, which is to do only good to his creations. As it is, the conduct of the good to do good. Then he rejoices and delights in the number of years of life that the Creator has granted him, and the whole world is worthwhile for him.
Questions?
No.
Yes?
Friend is asking, what does it mean to labor in the Torah compared to the mortifications?
We still have to learn it. How, even though I need to engage in self-torment, it's written what? Eat a bread with salt, drink a cup of water, sleep on the floor, and labor in the Torah. Meaning all of these torments don't replace it. You can torment yourself as much as you want. You still have to labor in the Torah. So soon we will check it out. Check what it means. Laboring in the Torah. Yes.
Like in the analogy of the cake. Where is it?
Yeah, it becomes tasteless.
Yeah, so it seems like we're just exchanging pleasures.
It's not just pleasures. You don't change the pleasure, you change the source of the pleasure. Is it the cake or the Creator? And then you change the world that you are in. It's not just a pleasure or the source of the pleasure, but the degree, the level of the pleasure. In order to bestow is already a spiritual level, spiritual pleasure. You begin to feel a different reality.
Ken.
Yes.
So where is the place of prayer, asking the upper light, the reforming light, that he would work?
For now, he's not writing about it.
So for now,
I don't know. I'm learning with you, along with you. If you're teaching somewhere, tell me where. I'll come hear it. Oh, in Jerusalem. I'll go up to Jerusalem. You're not learning from me how to learn. If he isn't writing, and I'm not saying, why are you asking about it? Ask about what is written. Where is this and this and that? There isn't, because we're not in this method. We're still not talking about all the things you want. Yes?
If I'll be tired enough and hungry enough, then even 10 minutes on the floor or a piece of bread will give me pleasure. He says you have to remove the pleasure from necessities. How do you do it?
Because in addition to this, you labor in the Torah. You still connect to the Creator. You want to attain Him. Why are you doing all this? To connect to the Creator, to want to discover Him, to cling to Him. This is why you agree to all of these torments. But it's still not enough. Soon, in a minute, we'll get to it. What?
So, when he writes that the first tactic is to accustom oneself not to receive anything for one's pleasure.
Yes.
Is this concrete advice to us or something that belongs?
It doesn't belong to us. Wait, let's read a few more items. Why specifically this, you want to do it and implement it right away, right now? Oh boy. Where are we?
Item 7.
Item 7. Otherwise, today they'll start self-tormenting themselves.
Now you will understand the two sides of the coin of engagement in Torah and Mitzvot. The first side is the path of Torah, meaning the extensive preparation one must make to prepare the purification of his body before he is rewarded with actual keeping of Torah and Mitzvot. In that state, he necessarily engages in Torah and Mitzvot, lo lishma, not for her sake, but mixed with delighting himself, since he is not yet purified and cleansed his body from the will to receive pleasure from the vanities of this world. During this time, one must lead a sorrowful life and labor in the Torah as it is written in the Mishnah. However, after one completes the path of Torah, has already purified his body, and is now ready to keep the Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, to bring contentment to his Maker, he comes to the other side of the coin, which is a life of pleasure and great tranquility to which the intention of creation, quote, to do good to his creations, end quote, refers, meaning the happiest life in this world and in the next world.
In other words, if you continue in this way, you will probably achieve the goal, right? Go on.
8. This explains the great difference between the wisdom of the Torah and the rest of the teachings in this world. Acquiring the other teachings in the world does not improve life in this world whatsoever, since they do not even render mere gratification for the torments and suffering one experiences during one's life. Hence, one need not correct one's body, and the labor that he gives in return for them is quite sufficient, as with all other worldly possessions acquired in return for labor and toil. However, the sole purpose of engagement in Torah and Mitzvot is to make a person worthy of receiving all the goodness in the intention of creation, to do good to his creations, Hence, one must necessarily purify one's body to merit that godly goodness.
Questions? Meaning, there is no doubt that we have to go through some stages of correction until the will to receive surrenders and is willing to work in order to bestow, and through the torment you can break it. And this is probably how it works. Although we're not going on this path. Item 7?
Item 9.
Sorry, yes.
9. This also thoroughly clarifies the words of the Mishnah. If so you do, happy are you in this world. Since they made this precision deliberately to indicate that a happy life in this world is available only to those who have completed the path of Torah. Thus, the mortification in eating, drinking, sleeping, and a sorrowful life that are mentioned here apply only while being on the path of Torah. This is why they meticulously stated, such is the path of Torah. And once one completes this path of lo lishma in sorrowful life and mortification, the Mishnah ends, happy are you in this world. This is because you will be granted that happiness and goodness in the intention of creation, and the whole world will be rewarding for you, even this world, and all the more so the next world.
Questions? What do you want?
What does it mean in this world?
Where he is?
Person, but what is godly goodness?
What is good?
Godly goodness. The godly goodness. It's the end of the item 8.
What's written there?
It says that there's this thing called godly goodness. What is that? It's the end of...
I know. It's the engagement of Torah and Mitzvot, which is only about qualifying the will to receive, so it can receive all this good in the thought of creation, to do good to his creations. And of course, he has to purify his body so it is worthwhile, so it is worthy of that godly goodness where he receives in his corrected vessels. This is called the godly good.
Why is the order first taste and then see?
Well,
we saw taste and see, the Lord is good. Why this order? Taste first and then see.
Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Because first you have to taste, receive the light, and as a result, you will see that it's good. That's the order of the expansion of the lights. Excuse me. Let's continue.
Item 10. The Zohar writes about the verse, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light for this world, and let there be light for the next world. This means that the works of creation were created in their full stature and form, as our sages said, meaning in their fullest glory and perfection. Accordingly, the light that was created on the first day emerged in all its perfection, which contains the life of this world too, in utter pleasantness and gentleness, as expressed in the words, let there be light. However, to prepare a place of choice and labor, he stood and concealed it for the righteous at the end of correction. As our sages said, Hence, they said in their pure words, "Let there be light for this world." However, it did not remain so, but rather, "Let there be light for the next world." In other words, they who practice Torah and mitzvot lishma are rewarded with it only at the end of correction, the end of days, after the end of the purification of their body in the path of Torah. Then they are rewarded with that great light in this world too. As our sages said, you will see your world in your life.
In short, they are rewarded with everything. We don't really understand what are these worlds and what is this great reward, but they are rewarded with everything. Yes?
Item 11. However, we find and see the words of the sages of Talmud.
Until now, it's simple. You have to kill yourself, you have to immerse yourself, you have to do everything required. And then you get to the purpose, to the goal, directly. You attack your ego. But,
indeed. However, we find and see in the words of the sages of the Talmud that they have made the path of Torah easier for us than the sages of the Mishnah. This is because they said, one should always practice the Torah and mitzvot, even lo lishma, and from lo lishma he will come to lishma, since the light in it reforms him. Thus, they have provided us with a new means instead of the penance presented in the above-mentioned Mishnah Avot, which is the light in the Torah. It bears sufficient power to reform one and bring him to practice Torah and mitzvot lishma. Since they did not mention penance here, but only that engagement in Torah and mitzvot alone provides one with that light that reforms, so one may engage in Torah and mitzvot in order to bring contentment to the Creator, to his Maker, and not at all for his own pleasure. And this is called Lishma.
In other words, there's something completely new here, a difference between the sages of the Mishnah and the sages of the Talmud. The difference is it's an extended period of time. It's not that it's just a few centuries, which is not so bad. It's rather a matter of ripeness of the people to work in this way with the will to receive, and then they prepare themselves. And it's also the decline of the generations. So everything happened in such a way that you can use the reforming light in something that exists in nature, and we can draw it and use it for the correction of our intentions to bestow. And this didn't exist before. At the time of the Mishnah, you couldn't use this light. At the time of the Talmud, you could use this reforming light. And this is why they said, let's use the reforming light. We don't need self-torment or anything, only the study of Torah and do the mitzvot, meaning start using your desires in order to bestow. Meaning, there is something very special here, revolutionary, the reforming light. Without it, we would still today be in that simple rule, attack your ego, hate it, ruin it, and we don't understand how to do it. We're very weak against it. Ruin it, do with it what you want, turn it around. If you get rid of it, to the extent that you get rid of it, you can live. Go into a sorrowful life all the way. The sages of the Gemara, the sages of the Talmud come and say, no, you don't need any of that. start living. You can sit on cushions and eat meat, chicken, and drink good whiskey. Everything. Enjoy. Enjoy as much as you want. But use the reforming light. Does the reforming light not require that we limit ourselves in something? In nothing. Nothing. But the reforming light, that's the key. If we know how to use it, we won't be like all the others who are where they are. That's the main thing. So from now on, from item 12 on, we are learning what is the reforming light, how we draw it, because on it depends if we can come to vessels of bestowal. And then the upper light, according to our equivalence of form, will fill us. Clear? Okay, we will continue. Now, who wanted to tell us something?
Shimon.
Yes.
Shalom, chaverim. Anachnu rotzim.
Hello, friends. We want to tell you about a special fund, the Help Chaver Fund. Many friends haven't even signed up to Congress, and because they're turning to the fund and they're awaiting its answers, and accordingly they decide if they can come or not. So we see how important that fund is to our friends, so we can be here in this, in our home together. On our part, we are preparing everything. We have sleeping arrangements and food and transportation for the friends, everything, so they could just come. And it's really important for us that the friends will be able to make it here. Anyone who wants it, and if he can do it, if he can take the time off of work and come, that he should be able to come. We're going to tell you about the preparations for it.
So first of all, the lesson started with friends from Latin America who told us how excited they are and how this world convention of ours, the convention where all the world Kli gathers, and now Help Chaver added in terms of support on the friends that they are covering all of our stay here for 2 weeks when the world Kli is here, a week before the Congress, a week after the Congress, they're going to cover all the expenses. In addition, they will also take on themselves the expense of the travel expenses of the World Kli to the desert. It's travel expenses that are significant. So it's very important. So we want to help every friend who comes here to be able to come here and participate. So we want to ask Rav, how important is it for each friend to come here for this integration?
I have no words. It's so, after we learn and we talk about it, there are no words. Nothing is more important than helping a friend participate with you in such a mission, special event. It's clear. So here, everything is free.
Totally.
Including kitchen.
Including the food, all the meals.
Now, a ride to the desert?
Yeah, to the desert. For the World Kli, it's free, the transportation.
And there?
There is a cost to the Congress itself. It's not very much, but...
Okay, let's think how to raise the money in order to cover the cost for friends who are coming from abroad.
Yes.
To pay for this stay in the desert.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks off work, and it's plane tickets, and so we're asking anyone who can to support it.
I just wanted to provide some perspective for the friends. I spoke to the friends from Argentina before the lesson. Just a big congress, it costs half of a person's monthly paycheck. And people have to fly, so airfare, make the calculation. Many friends here, we live here, we don't have to fly anywhere, we don't need accommodations, buses, nothing. If we can think just a little how we can help these friends, we'll be able to bring friends who perhaps haven't been here 10 years. And they build a tremendous yearning and something we all benefit from. So this has to do with each and every one of us. We have a tremendous opportunity, as Rav said, to make an effort that is common, shared by everyone. So the fund is open. Those who can do it, there's a link on Sviva Tova. You can go there and help the friends. The Chaim friends.
Announcements. You're invited to watch this evening at 6 p.m. Israel time, a live lesson with Rav Lightman on Sviva Tova. Unity Night, connection to the source of life. Sunday, January 26th, there will be Unity Night at the Kabbalah Alam Center in Petah Tikva. It will be dedicated to preparation for the World Kabbalah Convention 2020. The event will be a celebration of unity with a lot of good food, music, and of course, a lesson with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Registration on Sviva Tova and through the link that was sent to the group members on WhatsApp. World Kabbalah Convention, connecting to the roots of life. Friends, students, and viewers, you're invited to the World Kabbalah Convention 2020 that will take place between the 25th and 27th of February in Tel Aviv. Early bird registration ends on the 13th of February. Please hurry up. For details, call 1-700-519-209 or go to camp.co.il/convention. This concludes the lesson. Thank you. Have a good day and good night.
הכל התחיל עוד בבבל, נפרדנו כך לכל תבל,
חדלנו להבין אחד את השני, איבדנו זה את זה בקשר חיוני,
חצינו יבשות ומלחמות קשות,
עכשיו הנשמות ביחד מממשות,
בני שפות אנחנו, מקצות עולם הגענו, שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה, בשפות אנחנו, מקצות עולם הגענו, שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה. היום כמו חג בישראל, נוהרים מכל דבל,
משתוקקים רק להתחבר, והתפילה תלך ותתגבר,
כי הנרות דולקים בכל הלבבות,
עם אש האהבה נדביק את הנשמות,
בני שפות אנחנו, מקצות עולם הגענו, שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה, בני שפות אנחנו, מקצות עולם הגענו, שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה.
Ta-da!